after all this, brother, we want you to come. This is Brother Aldridge, and he and his wife are visiting with us. Brother DeRay's father pastors a church in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, and we're honored to have these folks with us on vacation and come to see their new granddaughter and the rest of the family. And we want him to come and take his liberty and greet you today, leave his testimony, and then we'll worship just a little while, and we'll let you go today if you promise to be back tonight. Praise the Lord, brother. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Rutledge, and praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you for the handkerchief. You don't know how many times a preacher always needs a spare handkerchief.
Yeah.
He always does, and it's nice to go into a church where they consider you and give you a hanky. Amen. It don't happen too often, but let me tell you, I appreciate that. But also appreciate the words of wisdom this morning. And I just want to say one little word, read one little scripture, in other words. And it's found in chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians. And verse 8 says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Now, the verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers." And he gave these people the gifts for the perfecting of the saints.
Amen.
I'm not talking about the 9 gifts that ought to be operable in the church, but I'm saying God has given the ministry special gifts. And he gives some to apostles to sit down and write the Holy Writ that we might understand. He gave some prophets that they might prophesy of things to come. He gave some evangelists that they might preach a message and touch your heart. He gave some pastors and teachers that they might pastor the flock and teach them how to live for God. Amen. Now, this gift that he gave to the ministry. And I've been searching for a long time. I really have. Ever since I understood that scripture that he didn't give apostles to the saints, he didn't give prophets to the saints, he gave these men and women gifts that they might perfect the saints.
Hallelujah.
And today I'm glad that God opened my understanding to one of the gifts.
Amen.
And one of them is boldness.
Amen.
Now, I would never put that as a gift from God. I thought that was just something you mustered up. But I found out this morning, as Brother Rutledge was speaking to us on the Sunday school lesson about the beauty of women and of men, and how there is certain type of people that are not Christians. I'm not going to try to correct nothing he said. I agree with everything 100%. But I'll have to admit, you ask homosexuals, and they'll tell you they are Christians. You ask the lesbians, they'll tell you they are Christians. I dare you go out here and challenge me and find me one unchristian person in this world today. You're not going to find too many. If you find one, you're going to be lucky. Today, everybody's a Christian. It's a word that has been misused greatly. And you got to go back to the original to find out what the word Christian really means. And when he began to speak there, I began to listen. Christian, it means Christ-like. You can't be a Christian without being Christ-like. That means I've got to present myself to this world as Christ presented himself to this world.
Amen.
I've got to have the boldness to speak when speak is necessary. I've got to have the understanding. I've got to have the wisdom to let people know what thus saith the Word of God.
Praise
God. To be Christian, you've got to be Christ-like. You've got to act Christ-like. You've got to talk like Christ. You only go where Christ would present himself.
Right.
You dress like Christ. You look like Christ. You talk like Christ. You eat like Christ. And you sleep like Christ. And boldness is one thing that I knew Christ had. And I knew this gift fitted perfectly this morning. And I'd been searching for some time, like I said, but I thank God I've got that gift.
Hallelujah.
And I'm going to use it right now. I want to use this gift of boldness right now.
All right.
Hold your breath, Sister Aldridge. She's sitting on pins and needles. What in the world is he going to do now? Well, I'll tell you a little secret. You've got one of the greatest fathers sitting on his pulpit you can ever have. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you, for they care for your soul. This man is not a hireling. From what I understand, he's not hired by you, and he's not hired by no board. This man is one that intercedes for your needs. He goes to God because he cares for that soul of yours, and he don't want nobody in here to go to hell.
Amen. That's the truth.
It's God's will that everybody be saved, but everybody's will is not to be saved. But Brother Rutledge's will is that everybody that comes to this apostolic church is ready to meet God when they calls that bride home. And he took the boldness this morning to really stand up and tell us. And you know the old devil has talked to you. When visitors are here now, you don't talk like this, man. You don't speak in this manner. You don't preach the way he preaches. You just don't do it. That's what the devil tells you. And it takes boldness. Here back here a while back from Mother's Day, I called my son and I said, DeRay, what are they doing for Sister Rutledge today? I mean Sunday. Well, Dad, I don't guess they've got anything going. I said, the mother of the church? Nothing going for the mother of the church? Did they do anything for you, Sister Rutledge?
Never.
Never? Oh, well, boldness where you at. Amen. That's a shame. That's terrible.
Oh, yes, they do a lot.
Oh, now, don't you compromise with them now. You said enough a while ago. You hold your peace. You done spoken. Now it's my turn. But that's terrible. It really is. Mother's Day, Father's Day, birthdays, anniversaries. Man, these people ought to be honored. How many of you every night, before you go to bed, or even twice a week, let's just narrow it down, twice a week, get on your face before God and travail and agonize for your pastor and his wife. Stay there until you're assured that God's will is being worked in their life. I'd almost guarantee you, being a pastor myself, that man hits the floor at least twice a week, maybe more than twice a week, for everyone in his congregation. If he doesn't, he's not a very good pastor. That's boldness, isn't it? He's right here. But now it's up to you. Today is Father's Day. How many of you have invited him out for dinner? Nobody. Nobody invited him out for dinner. Brother Wall, have you invited him out for dinner? Sister Rutledge, he pays. Now that's not what I'm talking about. No. Now I know everybody can't get him out there, but there is one thing we can do. We can help with his dinner. Now mark this down. Sister Aldridge looked over at my daughter-in-law and said, I knew it. I knew he was going to do that. He's not going to give me a penny for it. He didn't even ask me to do it. I asked my son, I said, are you sure they haven't got nothing planned for Father's Day for Brother Rutledge? Dad, I haven't heard a thing. And I just confirmed that report, and I said, Brother Wall, have they got anything planned for Brother Rutledge for this day? I don't think so. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take up an offering for Brother Rutledge. And I believe I can get a dollar from everybody in here. Every head in here could give a dollar. I know he's probably got 25 or maybe 30 suits over in a closet. But you know what? I'd like to see him go buy him a new suit and say, man, this is what you took up that offering for, and this is what I got. Now, you don't have to stop with no dollar. You can give five. You can give 10. I'll tell you what. Let's just put a real good one on it. Give what you think he's worth to you. Give what you think he's worth to you. Can you put a price on your soul, really? Can you put a price on your soul? When you can't pray, you're in sickness and you're going through a great trial, That's when he really comes in handy. He's down here praying, saying, God, you know this one's needs, you know that one's needs, and you know what this one has, the problem to fight, you know what trouble this one's going through. And then he begins, the way God tells me your need, that you're in more need than anybody else, when I get to that certain name that is more need than anyone else, God sends a tingling sensation up my backbone. How many of you ever felt that in prayer? Very many of them? Nobody? Well, I'm sure some of you have. But you feel something, and you begin to weep, begin to cry. You begin to talk to God, and you begin to travail, and you begin to agonize before the Lord as woman in childbirth. That's what the Bible says. And then there's times that he will pray for everyone, and maybe nobody really does have a need, and God won't bless him for any certain one. So then he says, okay, Lord, then I didn't feel any special one. Said, you see what their needs are. You know how easy it is to supply. So you supply. But he will go to prayer for you. He cares whether you perish or not. So we're going to stand in honor of Brother Rutledge this morning. And where's them offering baskets? I'll tell you what. We don't need them. I want two real good men. Who you got?
Brother Wall.
Who's your other usher?
Brother Rose will be a good one.
Brother Rose, all right. Just stand right up here. And I hope we run these over this morning.
All right. Go ahead and drop your tithe just, again. Just say past him twice.
Well, that'll be all right. That means he's going to get them more than that. No, just stand up here, brother. We're going to have him to march. See, limber him up just a little bit. He said he was going to get out a little bit early anyway. So just let him loosen up there just a little bit. And what we'll do, we'll just have this side here come down here. Then when y'all get back, then this side will come down here. Then this side over here is coming to Brother Wall. And then the middle here will come to Brother Wall. So you just come right ahead while they sing. And might I say thanks for cooperating this morning. Now, he's not going to give it back to the building fund. He may pay his tithes on it to Sister Rutledge, but that'll be fine. That'd be all right. That's still in the ministry. And that's where it stays in the ministry, whether it stays in the church or not. But he's going to use this for himself. And I'd like to see him get about $300 this morning. I believe we could get it. With your desire. Now, if you are going to drop a tithe envelope in there, don't say, well, that's all I'm going to give this morning. Do a little sacrificial work, would you? Anybody know how to sacrifice when it hurts? You're not sacrificing giving $5 with $500,000 in the bank. That's not a sacrifice. I'm not telling you to give $500,000 either. You can if you want to. But really, if you've got a tithe envelope, you drop that in, drop a dollar or two along with it, will you? And God will richly reward you for it. All right, let us sing.